Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com. One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
As Obi-Wan Kenobi once said, hello there, and welcome to Four Center Presents Databank Dive. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
And I'm Kat Knapsack, and this is where we have a lot of fun, Joseph. A show we're continuing from our work over at The Companion, but it's all new for you here on the Four Center feed. We'll tell you a little bit more about that. Joseph, could you do me the honor of describing what we're about to do?
Yes, what we're about to do is have some short, punchy Star Wars fun. Databank Dive is a show that we did for the wonderful company The Companion. It's an app. It is many nouns. You can find it as an app, and you can find the first 10 episodes we did is Databank Dive over there. We developed this show for Companion, and then we enjoyed it so much we thought we're going to add it to the main feed. And basically what we do here is Ken and I take turns picking something from Star Wars. It could be a weapon, it could be a vehicle, it could be a character, usually something more from the wild, weird side of Star Wars, and we just have some fun talking about it. We start with the basic info from the StarWars.com databank, then we go into the depths of Wikipedia, we look at what is known about this character, and then just have some fun enjoying the weirdness of Star Wars.
Well said, sir. You made my dreams come true. Yes, we want to, again, shout out the fun folks for The Companion. You can check out the app over there. Great articles, Stargate, Marvel, Farscape, a lot of things, and Star Wars as well. We had a lot of fun doing the show. But we really, you and I had so much fun. We're like, we're not done. We're not done.
We are not done. And we give ourselves the great challenge. If you're a longtime listener, we give ourselves the great challenge of, we mean it when we say short and punchy. We are shooting for around a half an hour. If we go to 32 or 34 minutes, you'll know that we are out of control. That's what the goal is for this show. So, Ken, are you ready to dive into our topic for this first public episode of Databank Dive?
I absolutely am, sir. Let's do it.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
The topic that I have selected is the character we know and perhaps love, Wu Hare. Are you excited for Wu Hare?
The man that affected my adult bar life greatly. Yes, I am.
Okay, so I first knew this character's name from an action figure. I don't remember how, why, or when I decided it was pronounced Wu Hare. Do you pronounce it Wu Hare, or do you have a different take?
A Force Center trivia moment. The first time, first couple times this character was ever mentioned on the show, I would say Wooer. Wooer, Wooer. And then I heard you say Wu Hare, and I was like, I like that better.
It makes more sense. Yeah, I think Wu Hare, I don't know, it sounds just kind of strangely elegant for a character who's not necessarily super elegant. And I think I had a hang-up, I'm a fan of kind of mid-20th century music, and Wu Hare sounds like something Bing Crosby should sing, not a character from Star Wars to me.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and then come to think, you know, there might be audiobooks with somebody, even sometimes those can't be trusted, the whole Marcion Rove at all. If someone out there is listening and they're ready to tweet us with the correct pronunciation, I'm not listening. Wu Hare it is for me.
Yes, I am happy to be corrected, but I'm also happy to be wrong and continue to call him Wu Hare. Wu Hare is perhaps better known as the bartender at the cantina in Star Wars A New Hope. Here's what the StarWars.com databank has to say about Wu Hare. You didn't survive in the Mos Eisley Cantina by being nice, and Wuher was a survivor. The gruff bartender dispensed drinks to the spacers, moisture farmers, and barflies escaping the Tatooine heat, did his best to enforce the seedy bar's handful of rules, no droids, and no settling fights with blasters, and avoided trouble, whether it began with trigger-happy patrons or stormtroopers investigating the latest incident. That is a very colorful write-up for StarWars.com databank. Sometimes those entries are super colorful, and sometimes they're just kind of basic information, but a lot of flavor. Anything in particular that you like in that write-up, Ken?
So many things I like, because this is why I love Star Wars and being a Star Wars fan so much. Bars, handful of rules, no droids and no blasters. All that is just two beats we've seen with this character. Him yelling out, no blasters, no blasters. It's suddenly a rule on the wall, and you know what? It should be. So I love that. And then I love the use of, it's not directly related to Wuher, but I love the use of the word spacers to refer to these pilots, these people out and about. Reminds me in LA here, about 2 hours away, where we got Lake Arrowhead and Big Bear. And they refer, if you live up there, you refer to anyone else as Flatlanders. And I experienced my uncle when I was like 12, we nearly got in a bar fight because our family walked in and someone turned around and looked at us and goes, Flatlanders. And I'll never forget it.
And did they point to the rules? No droids, no blaster fights, no Flatlanders.
Yeah, they did not, but they might as well have with the way they acted. So anyways, it adds to the cantina and it adds to where.
Yeah, no, I love how this one invites you to think, handful of rules, are those truly the only two? Is there a third one of like no running? Is there any other rule or is that it? In the way this is written up, I love the way you pulled it out, but dispense drinks to the spacers, moisture farmers, and bar flies. I want to hear Tom Waits sing this databank.com entry. It's so perfect.
He should just straight across. Oh, that'd be great.
So then we go to Wikipedia. We're staying mostly in the canon tab. There's, of course, the Legends tab. Some of the canon and Legends stuff for the old bartender Wuher really agrees, but there's some great stuff that's being pulled from various books. Here's what Wikipedia has to share with us about Wuher. Wuher was an orphan, but worked his way off of Tatooine streets by studying various species' biochemistries. With this, he was able to learn what types of drinks would be desirable with various species. We'll talk more about that, but that's a revelation that he's a bit of a scientist. Wuher, according to Wikipedia, disliked the concept of slavery, feeling that nobody should have to be a slave. Understandable. Okay. He himself could have had an easier time in his work at Chalmers Cantina by purchasing slaves, but decided against it. He disliked bounty hunters for similar reasons, but could not refuse their patronage for fear of what it would do to his reputation. His abiding dislike of droids stemmed from the death of his parents at the hands of battle droids during the Clone Wars. He had great respect, however, for Jedi, who saved him from an entire battalion of droids. His nightly ritual was to go home and drink a glass of blue milk to settle his stomach. Yeah, a lot there. I'll wrap up with the rest of what Wikipedia has to say. Wuher was portrayed by British actor Ted Burnett in A New Hope. However, his dialogue was dubbed with the voice of another actor. And then Wikipedia says, source? So who knows? That could be incorrect. Finally, it says the character was known only as the bartender at the time of the film's release. But the Star Wars Legends source, Be Still My Heart, The Bartender's Tale, from the Tales from Mos Eisley Cantina Anthology, named him as Wuher, while the Mos Eisley Adventure Set gave the character's name as Cedo Partu.
Wow.
So we could have been having this episode about Cedo Partu. How do you feel about that?
I mean, is it just that his name is Wuher Cedo Partu, or is it Cedo Partu Wuher? Because he seems like one of those guys that you call him by the last name.
For sure. I didn't include it because there's so many details in Wikipedia, but there was some book where at some point the wonderful lore master Pablo Hidalgo found some clever way to reconcile these two names. But his name is indeed Wuher. Cedo Partu, I mean, that sounds like I can't get Don Pardo out of my mind. And I think I like the weirdness of Wuher better than how direct Cedo is. Here's a seedy guy. His name's Cedo.
Yeah, yeah.
classic Star Wars thing, but.
Yep. No, I love that.
All right. Lots of interesting stuff in Wikipedia there. Anything in particular jump out at you? Otherwise, we'll discuss it as we get into our big discussion of Wuhair here.
I do like I think it was in the From a Certain Point of View thing that kind of went into him and the relationship to droids as it ties to his family and the Clone Wars and everything. That's interesting. I do agree with some complaints on that, is that it undercuts kind of the meaning of, you know, the bigotry of droids and just kind of any kind of social comment you want to take with that. I've seen that complaint and I get it. I actually really agree with that. But also there's something that I just like. I like this little detail of, all right, you know, everyone was affected by the Clone Wars. It would make some sort of sense. So I can go both ways on that.
Yeah, I really like that beat when I first read it in a book, because I just kind of feel like it's a different way to get to the same destination. It's still a galaxy in this era that has some biases against droid, judging all droids as though they were the ones. It wasn't even droids. It wasn't like droids got together and said, let's fight a clone war. Yeah, so it still is, to me, a form of bigotry. I liked it when that short story came out, but it is amazing to me that you can look at the absolute breadth of Star Wars canon and go, you know, there's a meaningful connection between the Mandalorian Din Djarin and the gruff bartender Wuhair. Yes. They both had bad encounters with battle droids, which left them disliking droids. They're practically the same character, right?
Yep. Yeah, it's the same. One and the same.
Okay, so let's get into the depth of Wuhair. Some of those fun things in Wikipedia we will talk about as we dive deep into the soul of this gruff bartender. But we're going to go a little bit more physical than soulful first. Ken, how would you physically describe Wuhair to somebody who's like, I don't know what you're talking about. What character is this?
A cooked potato in a tunic is how I'd start. Bulky in the sense that he always probably had broad shoulders and maybe didn't work out, but could lift some logs pretty good. But, you know, time in the desert has added, some experience LBs around him. I'm dealing with that too. Wuhair, I feel you. No pretense. I should have brought the Wikipedia up. I apologize. His actual height escapes me at the moment, but I just big, intimidating, naturally intimidating. wide, but tries to take up as little space as possible, just wants to get through his day.
Yeah, absolutely. He's emotionally tall. I like that perspective. I love your big picture description of him. My big picture thought of how to describe him is, if a sneer was a person.
Yep.
He's just got disdain, this is my job. I just got to get through it. Who's this wanting something else from me? Oh, does somebody want a drink here in my bar? Oh, what a pain.
Yeah.
It's so good. And yeah, I love your description. He comes across as powerful. He's got the big shoulders. Mm-hmm. He is for sure somebody who wrestled in high school, whatever the Star Wars version of he wrestled in high school. Wuhair's got that going on.
Yeah, had a Letterman's jacket and kind of that was his peak athletic prowess, but clearly got some brains and got some other skills and used them well.
Yep. And he's kind of got the basic sort of Tatooine, I don't want to pick out a shirt.
Yeah.
Here's a kind of a dirty rap. He's got a dirty rap. So let's talk about the magic of Wuhair. For you, what does he add to the legend of Star Wars?
Man, when I wish upon a star, Wuhair is what I see. This is all magic right here, buddy. This is great. You talk about New Hope, George Lucas saying, you know, we got to create a lived-in galaxy. That we toss that lived-in phrase out a lot in Star Wars and other franchises. It's important, but it becomes a cliche. He is the epitome of lived-in. We've all experienced this, and at some point, you and I are going to be discussing our relationship with him and our real life approach to bars.
Yeah.
He is that, and it sets that tone. You and I love our grizzled weirdos. Anytime we hear of someone cast in a show, you know, Nick Nolte. You and I always. It's hard for us not to say, "I bet he's a bartender," and it's all because of this guy. It's all because of this guy, and it feels so real.
Yeah, I agree with you so much. There's so much wild fantasy, so much completely groundbreaking, new, lived-in science fiction, space fantasy in A New Hope. And then it's all, you know, it feels used and lived in, and people are usually talking about, like, the equipment or the Falcon. But no, as a human, Wuhair feels used and lived in. That he's just totally this grumpy, downtrodden, day-to-day guy trying to get through life. There's just something that emanates from him that he's grumpy, but he's probably got a reason for it. And I think it is so fascinating that he absolutely comes from a fantasy world. But you could meet him at any dive bar on a Tuesday at 2 p.m. Like, he's one of the most accessible things in Star Wars. You know, we built all of Galaxy's Edge so we could build lightsabers and take pictures in front of a life-size Falcon and pretend we're in Star Wars. You want to pretend you're in Star Wars? You want to meet Wu-Hair? Go to any dive bar at Tuesday at 2 p.m.
Absolutely. He is there.
So we share a relationship to bars and alcohol and growing up that is deeply affected by Wu-Hair. So let's talk about that. Take me through your Wu-Hair journey, because I think that's some of the magic of this character to us.
It really is. So I was raised to, hey, don't drink at all, especially not to excess. Don't drink. Bars are bad spots. Even though there was two local bars in my hometown in the Arroyo Grande Village. They're still there. Ralph and Duane's and Bill's Place. All right. They're still there. If I head into town, I go there, and I go there to spite my mom. We used to pass by them, and my mom would literally be look in and go, "Ugh, disgusting." Okay. That's how I was raised. So it was very tough for me to get a little older and start to step into bars with friends. But then when I got in, I was extra scared because of this cat. I did not know how to order drinks. I did not know what to drink. I didn't know what to do. I don't know, one beer, please. Like, I didn't know. My parents certainly didn't teach me. My friends, you don't want to act like you don't know how to do it in front of your friends. And then a lot of bartenders, especially those places, they're this guy. And the look, Luke, not knowing what to do, tugging on his arm, the look, a sneer as a person, that was always in my head. And I'm not lying about it. I'm not doing this for the podcast. Little Kenny, especially in his early 20s, this is what I felt. And it was intimidating. And I hear him. And I still occasionally have bartender issues because, some of them for different reasons. But you go into the dive bar. Smokehouse. You and I love going to the smokehouse. We talk about the smokehouse in Toluca Lake all the time. There's a bartender there. He looks like Joe Don Baker, the actor. But he's built like Wu-Hair. And I still don't order a drink from him.
Because you're afraid he'll be mean to you?
Yes. Yeah. And Luke gets his drink. But it's I have the nervous, like, watching Favreau in Swingers make that phone call 20 times to the girl he just met, where you're like I still have that when Luke orders the drink.
Yeah, I'm with you. I had a similar experience. I started drinking a little bit earlier, but I never I got invited to like hang out with some of the cool kids where you would learn the names of different alcohols and how to order them and things like that. But I didn't go to those parties. And for me, some of my fascination with drinking was the effect, but also on the body of the whole alcohol thing. But like, I saw it so much in various media that it was so cool when somebody knew how to order a drink. It was like one of the reasons that I love martinis is from James Bond. And one of the ways that he shows that he's a man of the world is he knows how to order a drink and he has a preference and he knows the difference. So like, the knowledge of drinks was one of the things that I thought made you cool and an adult. Right. Then I go through life, identifying with Luke and his technique is awful, right? It is an instructional video on how not to order a drink of the tug and the making it incredibly obvious that you don't know what you're talking about by "I'll have one of those," whatever it is, right? It's just a way to it's just a siren call that I don't know what's going on in this place, right? Yeah, and I desperately didn't want to be Luke, and I was afraid of getting that reaction. Where I want to feel cool because I'm a grown up and I'm at a bar and I have an ID and it is legal and everything and I am ordering a drink correctly, and turning around and getting just crushed by a potato sneer of a person going, "You're nothing. You're nothing. You're less than nothing." I had it a couple times, where somebody asked me a bartender asked me a follow up question and I just rambled or said, "Duh." But my worst Wu-Hair treatment was from a really cool guy with long hair who I picked out the beer I wanted. He's like, I'll have a Rolling Rock. And he was like, "Nah." And it turned out that my ticket that I had for performing in the show didn't cover Rolling Rock. It was too expensive.
Yeah.
And I got totally slapped down and I didn't know why. And it just flooded into me of like, I am dealing with cool, hip, woo hair, but it made me feel the same way Luke did.
Do you remember when you and I were helping Mark Ellis with his comedy special at Reggie's Rock Club in Chicago, and we had to go to the bathrooms on the fourth floor. There's a bar on the outside. You have to go out there. And it was the cantina. And you, me, Ellis, and McCook, anytime we stepped out there to go to the bathroom before the show, like, it was, like, dangerous. I felt like Pee-wee going to the biker bar. And it was woo hair energy that I had flashbacks to. This is what I worried about as a kid. It's happening.
Yep. I would not have ordered a drink up there. And if I did, I would have pointed eyes like, I want that can. I would have done a total Luke. All right. So this is part of why our deep attachment to woo hair, as you can hear. Mm-hmm. But I want to talk a little bit more about the soul of woo hair. Ken, do you think he needs help to move past his droid issues? What's it going to take?
He does need help and a lot of things, and he ain't going to accept it. And he's gonna swallow his emotions and ride off into the sunset and try to enjoy his life as best he can. And in a lot of ways, Wu Hair's probably just a simple guy. I have a problem with droids. What are you going to do about it? All right. There might be a better, healthier path, but he's not going to take it. And he's doing all right. I think he does, and maybe he did. And so, again, it's understandable based on the storytelling we have. I like what you're saying too. It does read as bigotry, no matter what you look at it. It's a serious issue, and I want Hair because I like him so much. I want him to work past it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is the funny part to me, where, you know, the Mandalorian, the first season arc, in some ways is Din learning that great lesson from Queel that droids can be reprogrammed. Hint, hint. So can humans. Mm-hmm. And he comes to get better and better with droids. So we've seen that journey from Din Djarin. I feel like there's a more direct journey that Wu Hair should take. I feel like, you know, if Wu Hair is still alive when the BB units start rolling off the production line, those are friendly little puppy droids. Maybe not BB-9E from The Last Jedi. But, like, look, I feel like if Wu Hair could just, like, go around the galaxy with BB-8. Maybe even it's he visits BB-8. Mm-hmm. And then pretty soon BB-8, like, he pets him.
Yeah.
I think he needs, like, a BB unit as, like, a puppy therapy droid to help him get past his trauma. That's what I'm saying.
I love that. You know, we know those folks are like, I don't like dogs. And about 2 years later, they post on Instagram, I got a dachshund. Like, that's what we need.
Yeah, or maybe even Dio from Rise of Skywalker. Somebody else who's like, has seen some stuff, right? Maybe what he needs is a grumpy BB unit that he can bond with, and then slowly they can come together.
Love that.
Wouldn't that
love
be
that.
Beautiful? So we have here in Wikipedia that he is a fan of the Jedi from being rescued as a youth. Do you think that he tried to get Obi-Wan Kenobi's autograph after Obi-Wan revealed himself to be a Jedi in the cantina?
I think that's possible. Like, he doesn't have it displayed on the wall like, drop off at the dry cleaners. He got the wall of headshots from people that have supposedly been there. I don't think he has that because he gets it. You know, I can't out you as a Jedi. But I'll tell you what, I definitely think he picked up the tab. And now that we can say that maybe Kenobi was a little more looser following the events of Kenobi. Like, I don't think Kenobi was, now in retrospect, heading to cantinas too much in those first 10 years. But now Qui-Gon's like, calm down, have a drink, man. Have a drink, man. I think Kenobi has an ongoing I gotcha kind of tab covered at the cantina.
Yeah. He's certainly been there before. He's certainly not had a great experience. Mm-hmm. he has had some subpar nachos at Chalmers Cantina, among other things, to have such a strong opinion about the whole spaceport and in the cantina in particular. This place can get a bit rough. He's certainly been there before. I like the idea that Obi-Wan is like, he's trying to reconnect with the world a little bit, maybe stopping into bars. I don't think he's like getting tipsy and showing people his lightsaber.
Yeah.
But for me, I've got this kind of headcanon now about Wu Hair, knowing he was rescued by Jedi and is a fan of them, that, you know, famous scene, he says, you know, no blasters. And it's a fast movie, but he's kind of ducking down behind the bar, right? Mm-hmm. I think that there is a shot that we don't see in A New Hope where, you know, Obi-Wan lights up the blade and he takes care of Ponda Bob and Dr. Evazin. And then he kind of looks around as he extinguishes the blade and gets back to his business. There's a missing shot where Wu Hair rises above the bar with just light in his eyes that a child has reawakened in this grumpy sneer of a human being. And I think he goes home that night and I think he writes fan fiction about the Jedi he saw in his bar.
I do like that. I worry that he did help try to sell them out, but I think he has to do that.
Oh,
at home, that's where he lets his hair down.
I mean, that's what Wikipedia is. Wikipedia is kind of making this argument that he's kind of a good guy who has to put on a grump show in order to keep the bar functioning.
Love that. I accept that.
Wu Hare is not there working in the cantina when we see it in the television show The Mandalorian. What do you think happened? Did Wu Hare move on? What happened there?
I think he retired after the second Death Star went. Partially because he thinks, well, end of an era, time to move on myself, getting up there. I also think he's smart enough to realize that life in the Outer Rim wasn't necessarily just going to get better overnight. In fact, it might get a little worse. So I think he took that opportunity to powder out. And I think he went and opened up like a Jaipur snippet home Etsy kind of shop out of his Adobe, his little hut there. He's like, he just does some home Jaipur snippet work and tries to sell it for credits and enjoys his life.
I really like that. I think I agree with you that he just soldiered on in his grumpy, downtrodden life until the dawning of a new day in the galaxy, right? We've seen those celebrations that he reached Tatooine, and he's really like, you know what? Now's the time. The galaxy's opening up. I don't like the trade on Tatooine. I don't like some of these spacers and bounty hunters. I'm going to get out and see the galaxy. I know there's better out there. So I like the idea that Wu Hare is still, you know, pretty grumpy, but he's opening up inside. He's going all sorts of places. He has taken snapshots, and I think he has on his data pad a ton of vacation slides. And I'm sure you've had this experience where you've encountered somebody who kind of wants to tell you about their life, but they're kind of grumpy. And they kind of want to open up, but not all the way. And I think he's sidling up to people next to spaceports. He's like, I went to Naboo. Want to see a picture of the waterfall? And like shows them the waterfall. And he's like, so yeah. He's got no follow-up.
Yep.
He's making the other person do all the work. But he's trying to open up a little bit.
I love that. No, I agree with that. You know, he should just start a podcast, but you know.
He really should. I would absolutely love to buy his Jaipur snippets and see his vacation slides. So we've examined Wu Hare a little bit, some of the wild things from the description. We always like to make it personal as well. Not like we haven't already. We want to ask some specific questions about how Wu Hare might interact with our lives and how we would handle it. Ken, in his description on Wikipedia, we learned that he used science to develop different drinks for different species. Would you want Wu Hare to design a cocktail specifically for you, Ken Nabsok, a cocktail based on science?
Based on probably grumpiness and snark and tiredness. Yeah, I could do that. But here, my question, my kickback to him is, how generalized are you making it? Like, you just know humans, you know, they love nutmeg, that's going in there. You know, is it I get it. I can accept it a little bit more with a thorium or something like that. You might know what actually works. Just, you know, I want to recognize that I don't like the taste of coconut. Like, what do you got for me, where? So I'd be worried about that. At the end of the day, I'm definitely going to take a drink. I mean, I've been to the Double Down in Vegas, which was, you talk about that place is built in the image and spirit of Wu Hare. So I would take the drink. I just don't want him to tell me what's in it. Like, if he's like, hey, you want the hide of Eopi? It's my special mix. I'm like, just give it to me. Don't explain it.
I love that. I'd have to read the actual source that Wikipedia bit came from. I kind of take it as, there's that line I'm paraphrasing in the movie It's a Wonderful Life when Jimmy Stewart goes to the dark version of reality and goes to the friendly bar and it's not friendly anymore. And the bartender is like, I'm paraphrasing, it says something along the lines of like, this is a bar for hard men who want to get drunk fast. I feel like the science they're talking about is Wu Hare has figured out how to get every alien drunk fast. for the cantina. But if he was going to flourish, he could really design something beautiful for individuals. So if that was the truth, if he could observe my life and make me a drink, I would love for Wu Hare to make me a wonderful martini. I would like it to be blue for some just fun, exotic variety. Doesn't change the flavor at all. It's blue. And I would like it to be scientifically designed that the martini would make me very drunk, but for only like 10 minutes, and then I would be totally sober. That would be perfect if I could enjoy the experience. Yeah. Then it would clear out and I could be totally responsible.
I love that. You get 10 minutes of just living on the edge, doing what you want, and then you're back. You're back.
10 minutes of everybody's my buddy, and then I'm back. I'm back. I love that. All right. If Wu Hair was indeed real, Ken, would you hire him to bartend at an event?
If I wanted my guests tense, uncomfortable, and twitchy, absolutely. But here's the thing. I am a dingy bar kind of guy. So absolutely. He's going to get the job done. It's not going to be flowery and pretty, but you're going to enjoy yourself and you're going to enjoy your drinks. You're going to enjoy that high to VOB.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that idea. I would hire him if I was hosting like a high-end movie premiere, and I would allow Wu Hair to pre-design like 3 set cocktails that are themed to the film. And then I would also let him unleash his grumpiness because there's no variation. You order one of those 3 drinks or he will sneer you into an early grave. Let Wu Hair be Wu Hair.
Hashtag.
Hashtag let Wu Hair be Wu Hair. All right, we are going to head into our final rating. We like to rate the wild and weird factor of the characters. Often we will talk about the wild and the weird ones. Sometimes maybe the rating will be low. But our rating system is based on one of the original beloved Star Wars weirdos, and that is Lobot. So Ken, out of 10 Lobot heads, 1 being the least, 10 being the most, how many Lobot heads do you give Wu Hair?
Here's the thing, man. If we're rating how much we just love the character, he's a 10 out of 10, but we're rating the weird factor. He's so real that I'm going 3 out of 10s, but when you really stop and look at him, particularly that snaz, he's a 4.
Yeah, I hear what you mean. I think I'm going a little higher. I think I'm going to give him like a solid 6 out of 10, because you're right. He kind of starts at a 2 of he's not that wild. He's not that weird. Then you put him in the context of Star Wars, and he becomes weird in the context of Star Wars. He was one of the first action figures I had to have because the total opposite of kids. Who do you want from Star Wars? The grumpy guy who was mean to Luke over ordering a drink. Give me that. But I want him because he's almost ironic. He's almost weird within Star Wars because he is so average within the exciting fantasy of Star Wars. So I'm giving Wu Hair 6 Lobot heads. He can use those to make a drink if he needs to.
I love it.
Any final Wu Hair thoughts from you?
No, he's so normal that in that world he stands out. I love it. That's a great way to look at it. Yes, love Wu Hair.
There we go. That is our conclusion. Wu Hair, so normal, he's damn weird. We are going to do a shortened version of where you can find us. Basically, just go to Twitter. You can find links to all things Force Center on our Twitter. It is at Force Center Pod. Ken, where can people find you?
Hey, you can find me at Catnapsock or go to catnapsock.com for more information on all the things I do. Where can they go for you, sir?
You can find me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw. And you can go to my website, josephscrimshaw.com, for all of my other comedy adventures. Thank you, everyone, for joining us here on this first public episode of Data Bank Dive. Again, if you're interested, check out The Companion for 10 more episodes. We can't wait to share more wild, weird Star Wars characters, vehicles, weapons, ideas with you in the future. But for now, this has been Data Bank Dive.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.